Just minutes ago, the Senate took up the resolution passed by the House regarding including paid sick days in the contract for freight rail workers, and they voted against the measure that would have provided 7 sick days. Paid sick days had been the sticking point in the negotiations over a new contract for the 12 rail unions. 4 voted against ratifying the contract that was hammered out in September because it didn't contain the days. The Senate will now also vote on the separate legislation imposing the tentative contract deal on the unions with no paid sick days, which by law Congress has the right to do because railroads are essential. But workers told us they only wanted a few sick days and said they would strike without them. Well, some Americans may be questioning why this is even up for debate. Rail workers do dangerous physical labor and they have no paid sick days, even though it was unions who brought us the benefits that white-collar workers now enjoy. Other workers might be saying, yes, an estimated 33 million American workers don't have sick days either. Joe McCartan is the executive director of the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor at Georgetown University. He reminds us some states like California have sick day requirements, but COVID-related federal sick leave days expired in December 2020. We spoke to Joe earlier today before the vote. He is one of the many historians who signed a letter to President Biden about these sick days. We asked him, what did he want to say?
Well, we were pointing out that for a long time, for more than a century, what happens to railroad workers in this country tends to set the tone for what happens to other workers. And in this particular case, this demand for paid sick days by these railroad workers raises an issue that's going to affect many workers, that already affects many workers in the United States, many of whom don't have paid sick days, as you point out. About 25% of Americans don't have that right now, and many of them do essential work, like these rail workers. And so what we pointed out is that in the past, presidents have used their power to either help improve labor conditions by dealing with what is happening to railroad workers or suffer their further erosion. For example, in 1916, Woodrow Wilson signed a bill that gave railroad workers an 8-hour workday, and that set the tone that allowed other workers to win that.
And when it comes to the sick days, just give us a little bit of the history of that. Where did the sick day come from?
Well, the sick day has been a thing that workers have fought for decades and decades. And it was especially in the post-war era that unions were strong enough to be able to bargain for paid sick days. And as you point out about the labor movement, what it has been able to win for its workers has been able to translate out to others. Probably listeners have seen the bumper sticker at one point or another, the labor movement, the folks who bought you the weekend.
Yeah.
And in fact, the labor movement's struggles have helped to shape what all workers get.
Yeah. Do you have a date there or around a date when paid sick days came into being?
It depended on industry by industry, how workers were able to fight for and to get paid sick days. In fact, some what were called welfare capitalist employers in the 1920s, more progressive employers began offering these sick days in the aftermath of labor upheavals in World War I. So the 1920s was a time when you started to see the first evidence of paid sick days being won.
Yeah, and I would think that a paid sick day isn't just benevolence, although it's a nice thing to grant workers. Mm-hmm. It feels as if it would help your production line, help disease from spreading? I mean, what's the thinking behind it?
Oh, absolutely. Over time, studies have shown time and again that when paid sick days are in force, it contributes to the efficiency of the whole system and to the stability of a company. And that's really the rub of what's going on right now in the rail industry, because it's set up a business model in the past 10 years especially that has really tried to take all of the flexibility out of the workforce as a way of improving profits. It's a short-term strategy for jacking up profits, but in the long term, it makes the system a lot less resilient.
Yeah. Well, and we understand in staying with the rail workers that part mm-hmm. of the problem workers have told us is that a paid sick day, this idea of a day that you suddenly take because you get sick, is tied to something else the rail companies have been doing, which is called just-in-time scheduling. Talk about that.
Yes. Yes. In the railroad industry, it's got a specific name called precision scheduled railroading, and it's a version of a just-in-time scheduling thing that many of your listeners will be familiar with in their own jobs. In the railroad industry, basically, it's a strategy to do what in the old days in New England textile mills, for example, workers used to call the speed up and the stretch out, running the power loom more quickly and then trying to do it with fewer workers. So where a worker used to tend two looms, they now had to tend three. It boosted company profits in the short term, but at the expense of the workers' safety and health very often. Yeah. So in the railroad industry, what they've tried to do is to run their trains with fewer workers. Over the past 6 years, they've reduced their crews by 30%. And that requires a lot more stress for the workers who remain. One of the ways the companies have dealt with how do you run this system with fewer workers is to make the trains longer, bigger. And so where you might have had two 50-car trains, the employers have moved to one 100-car train, and you need half the number of workers to run it. Now, when you do that kind of thing in the system, you take a lot of the slack out of it that used to exist. It really helps company profits, but you can't really tolerate anybody being sick because there's nobody to fill in for them if they are. And right. That's the problem that workers are trying to call people's attention to.
Yeah, but we've proven as a country that we can do it when we understand the need. We had some mandated paid sick leave passed by Congress during COVID, but that was allowed to lapse.
It worked as well, yeah. Right? It helped to restrain the pandemic. And yet, yes, it did lapse. But, you know, that experiment worked very well.
Yeah. Look, we are not unsympathetic to companies trying to, you know, stay afloat, make a profit,
sure.
Which their workers will benefit from. But as an historian who's looked at this, mm-hmm. you know, what's the cost benefit? I mean, you know, some would say, well, maybe this isn't a time. We all hear about the supply chain being held up. We know about inflation. Make the case, you know, again, we want to have sympathy for a company in that time, but make the case that this would be cost beneficial to them.
Well, you know, it would be in the long term. The problem is that many businesses think about the next quarterly report and the impact it will have on stock prices. And what they've found is in the past 10 years, they've doubled their profit as they've moved to this new model of scheduling. So last year, the seven biggest North American railways had a combined net income of $27 billion. They could take some of that money and they could, you know, reduce the stress on the workers by offering sick days, by having more people on staff in these crews. But in the short term, they're able to squeeze out this profit, and there are plenty of activist investors who are pushing them to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they could still enjoy a very healthy profit and still address the workers' needs here. But I think what we see in this particular case is an example of greed. They can get more out of workers in this current system, and so they're trying to get more.
Joe McCartin, Executive Director of the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor at Georgetown. Joe, thanks so much.
My pleasure.